This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not even one. I mean, they're going to break the record, right? They have to.
They might break it by the middle of the month. I mean, it's insane. They're 31 and 107. I can't get enough of it. I check. I'm scoreboard watching them as much as I am anybody else. Guardians are there in a week. I'm kicking around asking some fans why they're there. Like, why? What are you doing? What did you not have on your itinerary on a Tuesday night in September that had you winding up at Guaranteed Rate Park to watch this just absolute calamity?
I think you and TJ should hop in the car, make that drive to Chicago, and not only walk around and ask them why they're there, but also talk some WRC Plus with them. Come on.
it'll be, Grady Sizemore's their manager now, too. It's like a sideshow. It's very strange. And the weird thing is they're 5-5 against the Guardians, and they're 26-102 against everybody else. So make that make sense.
This past week was a little bit crazy. I mean, one minute it's, oh, my God, the Royals are coming in here and just kicking their ass. And Quintaro is running circles around Vogt. And then this weekend, the bats awaken. Alex Cobb's perfect through six. I mean, this was kind of a roller coaster week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there were some good things to take away. Obviously, it's not perfect by any means. And yet, I feel like every time this happens where they have a stretch that makes you question if everything you witnessed the first few months was a fantasy. And then they follow that up with a better stretch. And then you get your head above water. You look at the standings and there they are, one game behind the Yankees for the best record in the American League. So like everything is still in play. They could be the one seed. They could have a first round bye. And by the same token, they also still could lose the division and wind up, the five or the six and playing a wild card series on the road. So it just makes every game critical for the next 4 weeks and maybe none more critical than the next 3 days in Kansas City against a Royals team that's really, really good at home. So I think, you have a chance to, maybe not put them away. A sweep is really difficult, but even if you win 2 of 3, you're taking the Royals' best chance at making up ground in the division. And, the Royals also, after the Guardians, they'll see the Twins, they'll see the Yankees. So it's tough for them. You have a chance to kick them while they're down. And for the Guardians, this is a big series. This is where you can kind of put your stamp on the division and everything you've been building toward this season can come to a head. So, yeah, I don't know what to make of this team exactly. I think you're looking for signs that they're on the right track. I think you see what Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb did, and that's certainly encouraging just in terms of having guys that can give you quality starts for the next month. The offense looks awesome Friday night, gets shut out Saturday night, looks pretty good Sunday, so I'm still not quite sure what to make of that group. So it's more of the same, honestly. It's just up and down.
I've said it on our podcast on the Dairy Brothers Guardians, because I just don't think Stephen Kwan is 100%. And he's not pushing off that leg and hitting the ball to the left side with force like he did early in the year. I know how secretive they are about injuries there, but am I onto something?
You could be. I think you can tell even when he's in the outfield chasing down a fly ball, like the sprinting, that's like when he's in his top gear, it looks a little awkward because I think he's kind of protecting against that hamstring that he injured earlier this season. You know, Stephen Vogt alluded to him about a month ago being banged up, and then I asked Stephen Kwan if he was banged up, and he just said, well, it's August. Everybody's banged up at this point in the year. So whether it's him or David Fry or Josh Naylor, like these guys, they won't tip their hand. And my longstanding stance has been if a player is not going to use an injury as an excuse, then I'm not going to use it for them. So it's tough. I mean, there have been years where Jose Ramirez, you can tell he's not quite right. And at the end of the year, he has to have surgery or something, and it explains a lot. But during the season, if the players are going to play through it, like I don't think we can just coddle them and you know, give them excuses. So, yeah, maybe he's not 100%. But he's a good enough hitter that I still think he should, like, he can find ways. I think pitchers have been pitching him tougher. I think they've been throwing a lot of junk on the outside part of the plate and forcing him to try to go back to what he was doing before he became this aggressive pseudo power hitter. And yeah, I think we've seen some glimpses of it over the weekend, but it might take time for him to kind of return to that hitter, or just make adjustments back like we've seen him do so many times over the first few years of his career.
Zach Meisel with us, covers the Guardians for TheAthletic.com, does a fantastic job. Also, one half of the Selby is Godcast. Check out that pod as well. What about, you know, I'm sure your inbox was flooded with why didn't we bring up Kyle Manzardo earlier questions from yesterday, right? So I guess I'll ask that question.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer because they, you know, believe me, I was asking constantly. You know, you look at it, just, we knew they weren't trotting out their best lineup on a daily basis. I think even they had to feel that way. You know, it was really impressive what David Fry was able to do in April, May, and June, but he has just been a completely different hitter since then. And whether it's, again, whether it's an elbow injury, whether it's just he was hitting way above his head for a couple months, you know, the one beauty of getting off to the start they got off to is it bought them time to make adjustments when regression inevitably set in. And, you know, Kwan wasn't going to hit 400. David Fry wasn't going to finish second in OPS to Aaron Judge. So they had time to fix the lineup, and they just didn't. And Manzardo seemed like an easy answer just because why did you trade Aaron Civale for him last summer if you didn't believe that he could be a mainstay in your lineup for years to come? And as a 24-year-old who has more than 700 at-bats in AAA, like, there's not much more for him to learn in Columbus. So it never made sense. I know they didn't want to sacrifice certain defensive versatility. They didn't want to put David Fry on the injured list. And so it felt to them like there just wasn't a spot available for Manzardo as a part-time DH. I don't know. The excuses don't really matter to me. I mean, it's one game. I don't want to make it seem like because he hit two home runs yesterday that he's the second coming, but he's certainly better against right-handed pitching than Fry has been, or Lane Thomas has been, or Daniel Schneeman has been. So it's good to have him in the lineup now. He can clearly help this team. I think you can just see when his name's in the lineup, when Noel's hitting the way he's hit, like that lineup looks more imposing than it has the last couple months.
I was going to ask you about John Kenzie Noel. I mean, you figure now right field is his?
It should be at least, I don't know, two out of every 3 days, right? Like when you have a player like this, there's going to be a cold spell at some point where he goes 0-for-25 with 15 strikeouts. It's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of chase, a lot of swing and miss, and that's okay. There are guys who have his profile who have been major leaguers who stick around for a long time. And with that, I think, comes a lot of streakiness. So when he's riding the hot streak, play the hot hand. And, you know, when he goes cold eventually, like, it's going to happen. It's okay. Just make sure you get the most out of him when he's going well. And he's been going really well now. I mean, I just wouldn't take the bat out of his hands. I think this is different than Oscar Gonzalez. Gonzalez never showed this kind of power. And Gonzalez had – he made enough contact so that when he was chasing pitches outside of the zone like Noel's prone to do, he was making contact with them, which is actually worse because then you're putting the ball in play and it's just like a weak roller to shortstop, right? Or it's a pop-up on the infield. At least with Noel, when he's chasing out of the zone, he's swinging and missing. So, you know, it doesn't hurt you when it's an 0-0 count, whereas Gonzalez would first pitch hit a slow rollover. So I think there are different profiles here at play. And I think when Noel is going well and he's hitting balls into the bleachers, you got to put that in the lineup as often as you can.
It's interesting. At the start of the year, we all said, we got to figure out shortstop and center field or this team's not going anywhere. Yet you just said it. They're a game out of the best record in the AL, and I'm not sure we figured out shortstop and center field still, and it's September 2nd, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, this team has stockpiled shortstops forever and has still not found a solution. And honestly, the solution might be to just wait for Bezzano to take over at second base at some point in the next year or so and shift Andrés Giménez to shortstop. So it's weird. It feels like it's been a waste of time, honestly. And, you know, I'm not sure where this goes. I mean, I think you'll just see more of what you've seen this year, but it gets really interesting next spring because I think the clock's ticking toward your number one overall pick and how you get to that point, I think will be really interesting.
But I like Rocchio defensively, and he looks like a pro out there, but just the at-bats and the flailing, you know, you got to get some offense out of him. I know he hit the ball hard yesterday a little bit and had a couple of knocks, but, man, it's frustrating to watch sometimes.
Well, Matt, let me ask you, like, what young hitters on this team, like the guys in their first or second year, look like they've improved at the plate as the year has gone on? You know, Noel, I think, is the easy answer. But after that, I mean, Rocchio looks the same. Freeman looks the same. Bo Naylor looks the same. Will Brennan looks the same. Like, you haven't seen the development out of your young hitters that you needed. I think that's been, in a season where there's been a lot of good, especially team-wide, you haven't had the individual offensive growth that I think was an essential part of what the season was supposed to be. So you're left with a lot of the same questions heading into next year and also heading into a pennant race that you had 6 months ago.
And you probably throw Angel Martinez in that mix too, because when he came up, he really flashed and there was some spice to his game and he was hitting the ball hard. And then all of a sudden he just dropped off and now you don't even hear his name anymore.
Right. So he's in AAA. George Valera's hit righties really well in Columbus this season, but you haven't learned anything about his major league potential. So, yeah, I would also argue, you know, Manzardo, I mean, he'll get some run here over the next month, but did you learn as much about him? Are you confident he can be an everyday bat in your lineup next season based on what you've seen this year, or did you miss out on maybe a month for him to develop even more at this level? Like, there are going to be a lot of questions about this lineup going into next year too. And look, there are some intriguing possible solutions like Chase DeLauder, Bezzano eventually, Juan Brito, but you know, I feel like the team didn't learn as much as it could have or should have offensively, or the contrary side of this, maybe they did learn some things and maybe they learned some things that aren't the most encouraging.
So you're sitting there yesterday, and Alex Cobb is spinning a gem and has a perfect game going. I mean, talk about – I mean, he and Matt Boyd lately have really, really stepped up. It's been so needed, hasn't it?
Yeah, every time that happens, I think back to Len Barker, and I'm thinking, all right, it's been 43 years now, and I've always thought, you know, what would be the perfect script here? No one has done this since Len Barker. They've had the pitching factory for a decade, but Corey Kluber never threw the no-hitter, a perfect game. You know, Carlos Carrasco came within a strike but it wasn't him. You know, they've had so many. Bieber never did it. So, yeah, it figures that it would be a sleepy Sunday afternoon and Alex Cobb would come off the injured list and he'd be the guy to end the drought, right? Like, the thing you'd never expect. I mean, it was masterful, though. I mean, I think it's been a frustrating year for him. He's had one injury after another, a lot of it kind of fluky. And, you know, he had threw a three-inning simulated game earlier in the week, but he had basically not been pitching for 2 weeks, waiting for a fingernail to heal. And here he is looking like exactly the pitcher he wants to be in the twilight of his career, with sinkers and splitters and curveballs. And it was masterful. And you're right. Him and your old buddy Matthew Boyd look, I mean, they've given this team more than they ever could have imagined, just in terms of the quality of their outings. Because these are guys coming off major injuries who, like, if Matthew Boyd hadn't pitched in 14 months, if he was rusty, if he didn't have command, like, you'd say, okay, like, that's to be expected based on what you've been through. And yet they've given this rotation exactly what they need to help them survive September, so you're not seeing Carrasco go out there for three innings or Joey Cantillo try to navigate a lineup. I think that helps. That makes a big difference. It saves the bullpen. And then it gives you options once you head into October.
What do you expect these next 3 days? I mean, the Royals, they look so good at Progressive Field, and taking three out of four, probably could have swept the Guardians, and they go to Houston, and that's never an easy place to win, but they completely tanked without Vinny P. How do you kind of look at these three games coming up?
I think the Royals are going to feel a lot of pressure, and they probably should. This is their one opportunity left to really make up some ground here. They've been awesome at home, especially offensively. Witt has been like flirting with 400 average at Kauffman Stadium. You know, to me, the key is you've got Williams and Bybee the next 2 days, and you would like to see them rise to the occasion, pitch like frontline starters against your primary opponent. And with Williams, you've seen the radar gun light up, right? Like, he's hitting 98, 99 miles an hour with his fastball, and all the metrics, your favorite metrics, say that the fastball is as good as it's ever been, yet it's getting hit really hard. And so he and the Guardians believe he's been tipping, that he's got a tell, and the Royals picked up on it, and they've identified what they think it is. So we'll see this afternoon if he clears that up, and maybe the fastball's a little tougher to hit, and he looks like the ace that he has the potential to be.
Zach, always love talking to you, brother. Book it, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll talk to you.
There he is, Zach Meisel with us from TheAthletic.com, the Selby is Godcast on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.